Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The Biden administration is always trying to tell us that what we're seeing is not the truth. And when their words aren't good enough, they will actually go to, let's say, the FAA and try to ground drones so that you can't see images of the truth. In this case, it's what's happening in Del Rio. But what Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, said yesterday about these Haitian immigrants, illegal immigrants who are trying to cross the border is pretty amazing, because I don't even think the most far left moonbat would buy this. This is cut two, please, Jared.
As individuals come across the border and they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Now, I've never heard anyone try to make that argument, that people who are trying to cross the border into America don't plan on staying here. Like, this is just one stop along the way.
They're transitory.
Exactly. It's just like inflation, transitory. Joining us now, and I'm going to ask Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies to react to that clip right off the bat. Thank you for joining us, Jessica. What do you think of Jen Psaki's explanation for these illegal aliens trying to get into America?
That was straight out of Pravda, the newspaper of the Soviet Union. And not to mention laughable, because as you said, the reason they paid smugglers thousands of dollars to get here was not to just, you know, pay a visit to the Walmart in Del Rio, or, you know, stay for a short period of time. Of course they're coming here to stay.
Yeah, and Jessica, there's another part of this that the left is slowly trying to utilize, and I saw that with Representative AOC, who finally spoke up once again. She was very, very vocal during the Trump years about any sort of violence or any sort of mistreatment of illegal aliens in these overflow facilities. And then she was very quiet when Joe Biden took over. I didn't hear her mention much about the lice going through the immigration overflow facilities or the COVID spreading, but now she's back. And one thing that far left progressives are trying to say is that a lot of these immigrants who are trying to get into America, they're escaping some of the disasters that are happening in Haiti. But what your organization, Center for Immigration Studies, is showing us is that a lot of these aliens, illegal aliens, are coming actually from South America. Can you explain that to my audience a little bit?
That's exactly right. My colleague Todd Benzman has been reporting on this phenomenon for months and months. And he, over the last few days, has been down in Del Rio and Acuna, the city in Mexico right across the river. He has interviewed dozens of Haitians and found that every single one of them that he picks out kind of randomly to talk to has been living in either Chile or Brazil for the last several years. And I found this as well with Cubans who are crossing the border illegally. When I took a trip down to Laredo a few years ago, same thing. They all left Haiti or Cuba years ago and went to live in Brazil before the Olympics there because there were a lot of jobs, in Chile because it's a very functioning, prosperous country, especially relative to others in the region, or even Spain. And these people have money too. We can tell they paid the smugglers, they've paid for transportation, they're buying food, you know, going back and forth, you know, doing takeout and to get back to the camp. And now that they fear deportation, they're buying their own bus ticket back to southern Mexico. So these are, they're not fleeing the earthquake at all. They're just looking for economic opportunity, and I certainly can't blame them. What one Haitian told my colleague the other day was that he said that he went to Chile because it was 1,000 times better than Haiti. And my colleague asked him, why did he want to come to the United States? And he said, because it's 1,000,000 times better than Haiti.
Yes.
That's the mentality.
I saw that quote. That was actually in the New York Post as well yesterday. They were quoting your colleague there. It's completely insane. And another thing that I've been seeing from some conservative outlets is that Jen Psaki and the Biden administration are trying to say that, listen, you know, we're taking a lot of these Haitians, we're flying them back to Haiti, but the numbers don't really add up because we have thousands of Haitians under the bridge in Del Rio, and the number of Haitians that are actually being brought out in airplanes is only in the hundreds. So where are these people going?
Well, our understanding is that the Biden administration is focusing first on removing the single adults who've arrived, and apparently they have sent back about 1,000 people a day to Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Now, there were at least 15,000 people in the encampment just in Del Rio. They extracted 3,000 people from that camp and took them to other places for processing, and it appears that some number of them have been sent back to Haiti, but our understanding also is that those with children, for the most part, are still likely to be released into the United States. It remains to be seen, but, you know, it's going to take a long time if they decide to keep up these deportation flights, and that remains to be seen. But so far, at least Haiti is cooperating with that, and I really don't blame them, since these are people with money and experience and work history coming back that could do quite a lot of good in that country.
Yeah, and there was a story yesterday about how a lot of these Haitians were on a bus, Greyhound buses, and they were about to get off somewhere, but they saw that there was media, and I don't know who was in charge of it, whether it was someone from DHS or if it was one of these organizations, these charitable organizations, but they decided not to let them off the bus because they didn't want the media to get photos of it. And then I thought about the drone and what we saw with Biden and the FAA deciding that the Fox News drone was too dangerous, so they grounded that. Have you ever, Jessica, seen this attempt by an administration to really suppress the news and what's going on and the images of what we're seeing?
No, I've never seen these attempts to suppress information in the United States. I've seen it in foreign countries like the Soviet Union and China and North Korea, Iran, places like that, but I've never seen it in the United States.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit about the conditions in Del Rio? I mean, we're seeing photos of people wading across the water, trying to, get into porta potties, trying to set up little tents. But what's really going on there? What are you hearing from your colleagues? What is it like in Del Rio?
Well, what I'm hearing is that it's absolute squalor, it is as bad as any refugee encampment anywhere except that.
Oh, do we lose Jessica? Hold on, we'll try to get Jessica back for one or two more questions. It's really insane, and no one seems to be buying this idea that these people are just here for a quick drop off and then they're going to go back somewhere else. I mean, this is the end goal. America is the place where people want to be, despite the fact that we're the most racist, backwards, evil country in the world. It's strange. People seem to want to come here in droves. I've never understood that. I've always found that to be odd. Let's actually listen to DHS Secretary Mayorkas talking about how the migrants are deceived by misinformation, cut 13.
Because what we are seeing is vulnerable individuals having been deceived by smuggling in, organizations and misinformation take the perilous journey north when we have been quite clear that it will not be successful, and that is not what they should do. It is heartbreaking to see these individuals. It is a human tragedy, and we are addressing it as best we can.
It's not misinformation, though. I mean, what the smugglers are telling them, and I agree that it's horrible that these smugglers do this and take advantage of people, but what they're telling them is that they can probably get into America, and a lot of them do. So it's not misinformation, unless you're saying that Joe Biden was giving people misinformation for months and months and months when he was basically campaigning on having an open border.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum.
Yeah, can we get a misinformation tag on that from Jack Dorsey or Glenn Kessler? That feels like misinformation to me. Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. I only have time for one more question, Jessica, and I would love for you to kind of give us an update. We saw this week that the Senate parliamentarian is blocking amnesty from being part of the reconciliation bill. What did you think when you saw this headline? You must be relieved, but is that going to last us a long time, or are the Democrats going to try to pull something else?
Well, it is a relief, and it's a victory for good government and for regular order in the Congress. There are some very powerful Democrats in leadership who are saying they're not going to take no for an answer. And so they've got a long list of alternative plan B, C, D, E, F, et cetera, to try to get as much of their wish list done on this bill as possible. None of these items have anything to do with the budget either, and are just going to result in, you know, more illegal aliens having their status laundered and other expansions of immigration. But it's also clear that a lot of Democrats are getting uncomfortable with this attempt to avoid the rules and realize that that's a political loser for them. So, I think there's a lot of people that are just going to try harder now, but we'll have to see what happens within the Democrat Party.
Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. She's the Director of Policy Studies, and you can check out her work at CIS.org, or you can follow her on Twitter. She's a great follow, at @JessicaV_CIS. Thank you so much for coming on the Grace Curley Show, Jessica. We hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you, Grace.
And keep up the great work. CIS.org is a great organization, and you can find out if anyone wants to check out their reading. I highly encourage it. It's very informative, and they hit a lot of different stories every single day. All right, we'll be back with more of your calls. We can talk about this. It seems like people on the line do want to discuss the crisis at the border. It is a crisis. I know Jen Psaki would prefer for me to call this a situation, or maybe AP or Politico would like me to refer to this as a quagmire, but I'm going to call it a crisis. 844-500-4242. We will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Now this you cannot make up. Reuters tweets out, White House condemns border guard use of whip-like cord against Haitian migrants. They're reins that you use on a horse. You don't have to be a cowboy to figure this out. They're reins. But of course, they know that. It just doesn't work with the narrative. This is really insane. And 774 says, Grace, did Psaki ever say the 13 murdered troops or the 10 killed in the drone strikes was horrific? No, her response on the righteous drone strike gone awry yesterday, to me, and I'm going to summarize it as best I can here. I might not do it justice with the up-talking and all that. But it seemed like she was just saying, well, the first one went a lot better than the second one. That was, for the fake news story about the cord-like whips in Del Rio, she's on all the morning shows being like, this can't stand. We will not allow this to define our administration. It is not who we are. We are an administration that kills innocent civilians with drone strikes, that got 13 U.S. service members killed with a botched withdrawal, that has inflation on the rise, that has a massive problem on the southern border. But we will not let this fake news story about whips stand. She's on top of it, Jen Psaki. Let's go to Richard. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi, Grace. Yeah, real quick. You know, they keep talking about global warming and you know, climate control and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you the truth about what's really going on here, Grace.
Okay, please do.
110 years ago, Grace, they were growing oranges and grapefruits in South Carolina. Believe it or not. Okay, the frost line now has gone all the way down to 20 miles past Tampa, Florida. In fact, in Florida, there's a whole county there, Grace. It's called Citrus County. They can't even grow oranges and grapefruits there anymore because the frost line has gone down past there. So what's happening here in the United States and around the world is cooling. It's getting colder, not warmer. It's all baloney and what they're trying to feed us.
Well, I would agree with you, but our president came out today at the UN, and he's very concerned about the rising temperatures of the globe and global warming, Richard. And if, you know, I didn't want to have to do this, but if you're going to force me, I will have to play you some of our leading climate expert, Joe Biden, talking about how this is a huge, huge problem. And in fact, this is going to make Richard happy. We're doubling our contributions to developing nations for climate change. Now, I just want to remind everybody for a second before I even play this. I said this yesterday, but I should say it once a day. The reason that there was this narrative that our allies hated Trump was because Trump made them pay their fair share. You'd think AOC would be on board with that. He made them contribute. He made them cough up a little dough. Joe Biden, there's none of that. We're just spending money, baby. Cigar, champagne, hot tubs. What can't we do? So now we're doubling our U.S. contributions to developing nations for climate change. This is Cut 12.
In April, I announced the United States will double our public international financing to help developing nations tackle the climate crisis. And today, I'm proud to announce that we'll work with the Congress to double that number again, including for adaptation efforts.
Now, I know that there's a group of people, and they're pretty much millennials, millennial liberals, who have climate anxiety, and I think Jane Fonda called it the existential fear syndrome. I don't know what it is, but they're
extinction illness.
Thank you. You should be so sad that you knew that so quickly, but I thank you.
We play it on the loop.
Yes. Extinction illness. But as far as non-crazy Americans, like regular people, as Joe Biden would call us, ordinary Americans, I just don't think that the climate crisis is the number one thing for them. I don't think it's on a lot of people's top five. And I know they run polls where it comes in somewhere in the top 10 sometimes, but I don't buy those polls. All right. I'm not trying to disparage people like Nate Silver, who've been wrong on everything every single year for the past 100 years. But I don't buy the polls that people are this concerned about the climate. And yet Joe Biden, who should have a lot of concerns, as Joe Manchin said, we have a lot on our plate right now. All he's talking about is spending more money on the climate. You think China is going to have to contribute to this, or do they get a pass as always? We'll be back with more 844-500-4242. More mask hypocrisy next. It's hard to keep up with.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I do have a lot of different things I want to get to, but I can't believe this. The Biden administration is actually hoping that this Border Patrol agents whipping Haitians from atop their horses is going to look good for them and is going to play well. They're trying to like parlay this into some good press. They actually gave Kamala Harris, do you guys remember her? At one point, she was the vice president. She was the border czar. She was in charge of, you know, small business help and the vaccine rollout and the border. She had a lot of jobs. You probably haven't seen her in a couple weeks. You might have caught her this weekend doing the coin toss at the Howard football game. But besides that, she has been nowhere to be seen. Well, she's back. She's back, and she's commenting on this bogus fake news story. Because if they comment on things enough and the media regurgitates their dumb comments, then it becomes a real story, even if it's debunked. And then we had a real laptop with real emails about Hunter Biden. That was debunked, and that was all real. But now we have something that's actually debunked because it's fake news, and they're still all talking about it like it's real. Listen to Kamala Harris give her genuine, honest, hot take on what she saw at the border. It's horrific. Listen.
What I saw depicted about those individuals on horseback treating human beings the way they were is horrible. And I fully support what is happening right now, which is a thorough investigation into exactly what is going on there. But human beings should never be treated that way.
Wait, hold on. What's going on there? Why don't you go there? You're the border czar. If you want to get to the root causes of this issue, I know there Haiti wasn't part of your three-year Northern Triangle group because it's kind of expanding. There's more root causes to get to. But why don't you go there? You're so gung-ho now on an investigation, on figuring out what's going on down there. Go! See it for yourself, you hack! Are you kidding me? She says that with a straight face and she's got that stupid mask on. I'm sorry. I know I sound mean. I sound negative, but it's so infuriating that the people now who are going to get in trouble for this, the people who are going to be painted as bad guys are the people who have their hands behind their back. They can't do anything. They're being overwhelmed. They're getting no help from their leaders. Kamala Harris is doing no one any good. And then when she thinks that she can pounce and seize and weaponize on a bogus story, she jumps at the opportunity. She finds her way out of the White House and she gets right in front of a camera to bash the Border Patrol agents because it's politically convenient for her. I've never been so disgusted with a group of people as I am with this administration.
Freedom!
They're completely incompetent. And they're so disingenuous. They put on their humanitarian hat whenever the mood strikes them. And then she'll go back to not caring about the border, to not getting to the root causes, to not doing anything except for talking about Christmas presents in Singapore in about 2 days. But right now, she's going to throw judgment on a situation that she's supposed to be in charge of. Investigate yourself. You want to investigate something and investigate why all of these horrible things are happening at the border, including people standing in feces and people making tents under a bridge in Del Rio. Why don't you ask your boss? Why don't you ask that guy wandering into the bushes? Ask him. You want the root cause? Turn to your right. He's probably standing there sniffing someone's hair. That's the root cause of all of this. I know, I cracked the case. Oh, crazy stuff, right? She's horrified at what's happening there. Well, get down there then. Figure it out. It's your job. I can't. It's genuine anger I have right now. I'm not, I know I go on my little rant sometimes against Fauci, but I can't imagine being one of those people who's down there trying to do their jobs. And then this is what you get from the vice president. We're going to get to the bottom of this. I'm horrified. And they weren't whipping people. They had reins on their horses. Ugh, it's all just so dumb. That's the only word I can use to describe it. All right, so I did want to talk a little bit here about some mask hypocrisy very quickly. Obviously, the Emmys were on this weekend. We talked yesterday about how no one had to wear a mask. And the LA County Department of Public Health told us why. The Emmy Award show is a television production, and persons appearing on the show are considered performers. All persons appeared on or in the audience of the Emmy Award show were fully vaccinated against COVID-19. But the staff still had to wear the masks, even if they were fully vaccinated, because they're not performers. Being a performer gives you an antibody, I guess, to the droplets, to the spread. And I'm thinking now, I'm like, all right, so what am I got to keep a list here of excuses. When I go into, you know, the local coffee shop or the supermarket and I get yelled at for not wearing a mask from a Karen, I'm either going to say, I'm at the Met Gala. That's an option. I'm a performer. I'm a performer. And technically, that's not false. Yeah, I'm a theater major. I still do some masterpiece theater every once in a while. I could always just yell, Tony, Tony, Tony got back together. That would be a really fun one. I could just start screaming like Nancy Pelosi. I've been set up. This is a setup. What am I missing here, Jared? It's a historic day. That was Biden when he didn't wear a mask at the Lincoln Monument because it was a historic day.
I'm at the Obama birthday party.
Oh, yeah. I identify as being at the Obama sophisticated birthday party. Sometimes you just need to feel the spirit. I could always say, please don't be the fun police. Mayor London Breed from San Francisco told me that you don't have to be the fun police, so you can back off.
I'm in between bites right now.
I'm the public face of Boston. That's going to be my excuse. I'm the face of Boston. I need to get my hair cut. It's just absolutely crazy. And here's a really funny one. So obviously yesterday we were talking about Mayor London Breed from San Francisco because she, out of all of the people who have defied their own masking policies, hers was the funniest because she was so unapologetic. She was like, well, of course I did. Tony, Tony, Tony got back together. Stop asking me these stupid questions. But there's another one from Howie's neck of the woods. The Palm Beach County School Board recently defied Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' ban on mask mandates, instead voting to implement a policy that would prevent parents from opting their children out of school mask mandates. Now, a picture has surfaced on Facebook of Alexandria Ayala, a member of the Palm Beach County School Board who voted in favor of the mask mandate, attending a party without wearing a mask. So the mask is good enough for little kids who have a lot less chance of spreading this or dying from it, but the masks aren't good enough for her. Now, it's okay for your kid to have to wear a mask every day at school, or maybe not even be able to go to school because of the masks, but she doesn't have to wear one at a party. Not only did Ayala support the mask mandate for school children, she even initiated the motion in front of the rest of the school board. And this is what she said. I think that I have made it pretty clear that I care about the safety of every child under our district more than anything else. I will protect that at all costs in the face of bullying, in the face of threats to my position, in the face of funding, in the face of politics. Ayala even spoke out against medical exemptions from the mask mandate, saying, I don't have time to wait or to allow people to exploit a medical opt-out, which they will try to do. We need to be strong on this.
Stupid Johnny with a stupid EpiPen.
It's absolutely wild how they're clearly, these Karens are not afraid of the virus. You know, they like the control. They like telling you what to do. They like being the fun police, as Breed said, but they're not afraid of it. She's at a party without a mask on. The real question is, were there children at that party? Because if she didn't have a mask on and there were children at that party, then she is as much of a monster as Ron DeSantis. She is as much of a threat to the lives of those children as Ron DeSantis.
She's Ron, she's Santis.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And then here's another update that I did want to fill you guys in on, the Hunter Biden story. It turns out, and I hope you're sitting down. If you're not sitting down, can I suggest, if you're driving, that you pull over? Because this is going to blow your mind. Remember all the debunked stories when Joe Biden would be asked about the Hunter Biden laptop and he'd say, that's been debunked. Chocolate, chocolate chip. Or when Leslie Stahl was interviewing Donald Trump and Trump said to her, why don't you talk about the laptop? We can't talk about that. We can't talk about that. It hasn't been confirmed. Well, it turns out that the laptop, the information, it wasn't Russian disinformation. A lot of it was true. Now, I'm kidding, of course. We've all known this for a long time. But in Playbook, it says there's this new book out. It's called The Bidens, Inside the First Family's 50-Year Rise to Power. It finds evidence that some of the Hunter Biden laptop material is genuine. I'd venture to say all of it is. But I'm going out on a limb there. You know, we have to wait another 6 months to verify that it's all genuine, including two emails at the center of last October's controversy. By the way, the controversy that every big tech giant tried to suppress, including Twitter. They suspended the New York Post Twitter account because of this story that was true. A person who had independent access to Hunter Biden's emails confirms he did receive a 2015 email from a Ukrainian businessman thanking him for the chance to meet Joe Biden. The same goes for a 2017 email in which a proposed equity breakdown of a venture with Chinese energy executives includes the line, 10 held by H for the big guy? Emails released by a Swedish government agency also match emails in the leaked cache, and two people who corresponded with Hunter Biden confirmed emails that were genuine. Again, shocking. I know this is shocking for people. And I don't want you to let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the artist known as Hunter Biden. If you've been on the fence about his artwork, please don't let this affect it. He's a talented artist, okay? We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show. I do want to talk a little bit here about the thunderstorm. Jared, Howie has been on a microwaving roller coaster. Every day is different. Seafood, crab cakes, whatever, old rice, he's microwaving it and it smells. It does smell. But thanks to the thunderstorm, we don't have that problem, do we?
No, we don't, because we just plug it in, we turn it on, and immediately it starts ionizing the air around you. It sends out the ions, which creates a super oxygen, so that gets rid of any fish cake smell, any paella smell, any weird rice smell, any who knows what smell from the trash can nachos. It could be anything. It is gone in a matter of minutes, and you're breathing that clean air, and you're not smelling lunch.
Yes, and I also use this at my house in the kitchen. If you cook something that gets a lot of steam, if you cook on a cast iron skillet, it's great to clear out that air. It's great for people who suffer from allergies. And right now, if you get the three-pack, you'll get three units for under $200, and you'll save $200. I know a lot of the listeners are watching on Rumble. This is the size of it. It's a small device. It's very easy to use, plug in. No air filters are required, but it's very, very powerful. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier is small and light. You plug it right into the wall. Right now, if you go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name and put in code word GRACE3, you can save $200 for their special three-pack. Again, that's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. We'll be back with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to, and we have Toby coming up. I think in the next segment, I want to run through a piece here in the New York Post that I think breaks down this entire Michael Sussman situation, because I found it a little bit confusing. I found it a little bit in the weeds, but this story kind of lays it all out. And I do think that the much anticipated Durham report might actually be kind of interesting when push comes to shove. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Mr. President, do you have a message to the Haitian migrants?
Thank you, guys. Let's go. Thank you. Let's go. Thank you. Let's go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Get out. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Thank you. Thank you. Ugh. You know what that's the sound of, those thank you girls? That is the sound of building back better. Or building bagel back, or back street back, all right? I don't remember which one, but that's what it sounds like. America is back,
bagel
baby.
Back better.
America is back. We're restoring norms. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's FollinsBeeIn, spelled FOLLANSBEE. Go to FollinsBeeIn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will the Democrats pass their $3.5 trillion bill?
No, but CNN's like, everything hangs in the balance. Everyone's freaking out. If we don't spend trillions of dollars, what will we do? No, I don't think it will pass. I have faith in Kristen Sinema.
66% of the audience believes no, it will not pass.
I wanted to run through this quickly. It's from the New York Post. This just gives people... I was at a radio conference and Brian Kilmeade said, I like to give people information they can use at their barbecue. And this piece really helped me break this down in an easy and simple way because the Steele dossier stuff can get kind of tricky. So this is by Andrew McCarthy, and I'm going to skip around here. He says there's a long game and a short game going on in the special counsel John Durham's indictment of Democratic Party lawyer Michael Sussman on a false statements count. Now, the short game, which he describes, is just that the statute of limitations on this false statement he gave to the FBI, to FBI General Counsel James Baker, is coming up. It was coming up and he had to, it was either act now or let it go. So he acted now. Now, more critically is the long game. It is unusual for a one-count false statement charge, which can be alleged in a paragraph, to be presented as a 20-page speaking indictment. But Durham wrote a highly detailed account of the facts and circumstances surrounding the false statement charge. And that tells us a lot more about this entire situation because of how detailed he was. The Trump-Russia collusion narrative was essentially a fabrication of the Clinton campaign that was peddled to the FBI and to the media by agents of the Clinton campaign, particularly its lawyers at Perkins Coie. Now, we already knew all this, but this is where I find it very interesting. Sussman allegedly told Baker that he was not working for any client when he brought Baker sensitive information. So he brings him this sensitive information as if I'm just a concerned citizen. You know, I just have this information. I think you guys should know about it. Even though Perkins Coie client billing records obtained by Durham show that Sussman was logging his time as spent working for the firm's Clinton campaign account. The indictment describes the information Sussman gave Baker as expert analyses, which showed a back channel connection between the Kremlin and the Trump campaign. Now, that back channel connection, okay, that was internet communications between servers at Trump Tower and Alpha Bank. And Alpha Bank is a top Russian bank that supposedly has ties to Putin. So they see Alpha Bank, Trump Towers, ooh, all roads lead to Russia. In fact, the indictment alleges Sussman was working for the Clinton campaign and another client. This is what I find very interesting. An unidentified cyber expert and executive who they keep calling Tech Executive One, who was expecting to get an important government cybersecurity job if Clinton was elected. So he was trying to help Clinton. Now, here's what he did. Tech Executive One owned internet companies that offered domain name system resolution services. The indictment explains that these involve the lucrative business of translating recognizable internet domains to numerical IP addresses. So these companies that do this, they have access to a lot of non-public information about internet traffic because they're supposed to be providing access and security and all this stuff. The government provides the privileged access because the companies are supposed to help with cybersecurity. But Tech Executive One and Perkins Coie are said to have exploited this access for political purposes. In a nutshell, then, people closely connected to the Clinton campaign use privileged access to non-public information for political purposes. I hope that explains it, because for me, that kind of made a lot of sense. All right, we will be back. Get on the lines now for 2A Tuesdays, 844-500-4242.